It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 908 for the 15th of November, 2024. This week, Windows seemingly has adjustments, settings, configurations, and modifications for just about everything. Despite a decade-long effort to finalize the Settings app, the control panel is still needed sometimes, and finding the adjustment you're seeking can be difficult. That's one reason you might want to enable God mode. In short circuits, one of the first things technicians want us to do when something goes wrong with a computer or any other electronic device is turn the thing off and turn it back on again. This actually fixes a lot of problems, but why? And do you use Wikipedia for research? Millions of people do every day, and despite the doubters, it's usually quite accurate. Have you ever enabled God mode on your Windows computer? First of all, there's nothing in God mode that you can't find elsewhere. Maybe in Settings, probably in the Control Panel, but possibly six levels down in sub menus. Maybe it's better to think of it as Index mode or Librarian mode. And that's not to demean librarians, who are among the most knowledgeable and helpful folks anywhere. God mode is a feature of Windows 11 and Windows 10 and Windows 8 and Windows 7. It might have even existed before Windows 7, but I honestly don't remember and I didn't feel like looking it up. You might find it helpful when you're looking for a setting, but you're not quite sure where it is. If the name God mode makes you think of something like a Linux superuser, forget it. You can't do anything with God mode that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise, except possibly locate a setting faster. The God mode folder, and that's really all it is, can be kept wherever you want it. Some users keep it on the desktop, and that's where I have it, in a Fences 5 area called Utilities. Double-clicking the icon opens Explorer and displays the contents. The folder contains links to more than 200 settings and various other options. For example, manage BitLocker drive encryption, network settings, shares, and power settings. Adjust what a laptop computer does when you close the lid. Change what the power button does. Add Bluetooth devices, printers, and other peripherals. Use Microsoft's file history to back up files. Change file associations. Show or hide files, file extensions, and directories. Change the system date and time. Modify accessibility settings, and more. A lot more. These are all settings you'll find somewhere, but God mode gathers them all into a neat, organized package. If you'd like to give God mode a try, here's how to create that special folder on your desktop, and if you later decide you don't really like God mode, well, all you have to do is delete the folder. Right-click an empty spot on the desktop and click New, then click Folder, and then type or paste from the TechBiter Worldwide website the following text, period, left curly brace, ED7BA47-0-8E54-4-6-5E-8254C-9971-2043-E01C, right curly brace. And make sure you get both the leading period and the braces. If the name dialog box closes before you can enter the text, right-click the folder, then choose Rename from the context menu, or just press F2 to rename it, and then copy and paste that long name in. You can place a name in front if you wish, but you won't see it below the folder's special icon. Prior to Windows 11, text left of the period was displayed as the folder's name. Now, nothing at all. When you finish renaming the folder, the icon will change to one that's somewhat unlike any other icon on the desktop, and double-clicking it will open the Windows Explorer, and you'll see the 200-plus settings in categories such as Autoplay, BitLocker, Color Management, Credential Manager, Devices and Printers, Windows Defender Firewall, and Work Folders, and a bunch more. Try the various view options. I decided I like the one with icons, or if you prefer a fully alphabetical listing, choose Group by Name. To undo that change, if you don't like it, sort by name and group by application. So now you have God mode and you can play with it. Standard warning, as always, don't make any changes that you don't know why you're making them. And maybe there's something more that fits here, although it's not related in any way to God mode. There are other helpful links that you might want to place on the desktop or in some other handy location. These are shortcuts that open the Windows Explorer and navigate to special locations that you may need occasionally. The AppData roaming directory is a good example for me. I can get there quickly by pressing the Windows key and R for run and typing %AppData% and pressing Enter, or by opening the Explorer and typing C:\users\willy\appdata\roaming. You've probably guessed already that I use the %AppData% because it's shorter and faster. But what if I could get there by double-clicking a single icon? Well, I can. There are, in fact, several icons in a Fences 5 area called Locations on the desktop. These are direct links to some of the locations I need occasionally, but that require typing either a long path name or a somewhat cryptic keyword. You'll see a chart of them on the TechBiter Worldwide website, including these locations: the Start menu for all users, Startup Applications for all users, the Start menu for the current user, Startup Applications for the current user, Installed Typefaces, the User App Data Folder, Common Programs Data Folder, User Templates, and Common User Templates. In a few cases, the link goes only part of the way to the needed location. To find Microsoft Word's templates for the current user, you need to start with the Roaming App Data Folder and drill down to Microsoft and then to Templates. But at least it gets you partway there. Did you know, for example, that you can directly edit both the startup folder that contains applications that run at boot time and the links in the Start menu? With improvements by Microsoft, or when using Stardock's Start 11 menu replacement, it's no longer as important as it once was, but you can still do it. These commands all begin with the word Explorer, followed by the word Shell and a colon, and then the keyword for the location you want to go to. Most of these are single words or multiple words without spaces, but sometimes there are spaces. And if there are spaces, you need to wrap the shell part of the command in quotation marks. Or you can just always put quotation marks around the shell part of the command. If they are present and not needed, no big deal. If they are not present and they are needed, the command will fail. For example, if there are no spaces inside the shell part of the command, you can type Explorer space shell colon startup, or Explorer space quotation mark shell colon startup quotation mark. But if there are spaces, you must use the quotation marks. Explorer space quotation mark shell colon common space startup quotation mark. Windows makes available a lot of time-saving tweaks that help users get things done faster and with less effort. Granted, the time difference between clicking a single icon and typing 20 or 30 characters is minimal, unless you can't recall the exact 20 or 30 characters you need, or you make a typo. And if you haven't noticed, I'm a big fan of quick and easy. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, when something goes wrong with nearly any electronic device, most tech support representatives will ask if you've turned it off and turned it back on again. Well, Microsoft Windows techs may first tell you to run the system file checker and the deployment imaging services module. Why is that? I have never encountered a case in which SFC or DISM have solved a problem, or even provided a decent clue. So I don't know why those steps always seem to be at the top of Microsoft's list. But for everybody else, power off and power back on usually is the first step because it does fix the problem frequently. For Windows computers, the recommendation is now usually to restart the computer instead of running the shutdown process. That's because Windows has a fast start option that retains information about the states of all running processes, and restart clears that information. If fast start is enabled on your computer, I recommend disabling it because it saves only a few seconds at boot time, and it can create problems for users who think they're clearing all memory by shutting the computer down. Here's how to disable fast startup. Open the old-style control panel. You might need to search for that if your computer has been upgraded to version 24H2 of Windows. Alternatively, use God mode that I described previously. Either way, you'll want to search for power in the search box, and then click choose what the power buttons do, and then deselect turn on fast startup. Then click the save changes button. But why does this work? Well, clearing a device's memory solves the problem when information in memory has been damaged. With millions of bits flying around inside the computer every second, we probably shouldn't be too surprised when one of them goes awry and causes the device to become unresponsive. But keep in mind that not every bit that goes wrong causes problems you'll see. Supervisor functions in software and firmware watch for known problems and usually can resolve them without bothering the user. So if you've ever seen an alert about an unexpected error and muttered, "What, are there any expected errors?" Well, the answer is yes, there are. The system knows how to deal with expected errors and resolves most of them without having to bug you. So before you call a support line for help with an electronic device that seems to be malfunctioning, you can save a little time by restarting the device to see if that makes the problem go away. In the 1950s, we had a World Book Encyclopedia set at home, and my parents added a copy of Encyclopedia Britannica. Although I can't think of the time I last used it, we still have those books. Wikipedia is much faster and easier to use. It also has updated information that may be more accurate. If you're looking for information about technology, hardware, software, mechanical things, and anything that can be enumerated, Wikipedia is a great source. Surprisingly, it's also frequently accurate about controversial topics. 2 weeks before the election, I checked Wikipedia's articles on Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Both were written in an even-handed, unbiased way. The writers and editors are volunteers, but crowdsourcing has been shown to work quite well. Encyclopedia Britannica discontinued printing books in 2010 and switched to online and DVD offerings. The DVDs are gone now, replaced by the online subscriptions, ranging in price from $75 a year for individuals and $100 per year for families. The family plan includes Britannica Kids. By contrast, Wikipedia is free, but donations are requested. Wikipedia describes itself this way. Wikipedia is a free content online encyclopedia written and maintained by a community of volunteers known as Wikipedians through open collaboration and the wiki software MediaWiki. Wikipedia is the largest and most read reference work in history and is consistently ranked among the 10 most visited websites. Founded by Jimmy Wales and Larry Sanger on January 15, 2001, Wikipedia has been hosted since 2003 by the Wikimedia Foundation, an American nonprofit organization funded mainly by donations from readers. And Wikipedia also describes its competition. The Encyclopedia Britannica, Latin for British Encyclopedia, is a general knowledge English language encyclopedia. It has been published by Encyclopedia Britannica, Inc. since 1768, although the company has changed ownership 7 times. The encyclopedia is maintained by about 100 full-time editors and more than 4,000 contributors. The 2010 version of the 15th edition, which spans 32 volumes and 32,640 pages, was the last printed edition. Since 2016, it has been published exclusively as an online encyclopedia. What's interesting about Wikipedia is that anybody can submit or edit a Wikipedia article, and it'd be reasonable to expect that this would lead to chaos and inaccuracy. But anyone can also correct inaccurate information. Unlike previous encyclopedias that required peer-reviewed articles, Wikipedia depends entirely on crowdsourced intelligence. Early in Wikipedia's history, academics often reacted with scorn. Certainly, Wikipedia must be full of errors, they said. But Britannica also has errors, even with its peer-reviewed articles. As early as 2005, rigorous comparisons showed that Wikipedia is generally as accurate as Britannica, and that it reacts faster to correct incorrect information. If you're looking for information, Wikipedia is an excellent place to start, and if you use Wikipedia regularly, making a donation is an even better idea. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.